Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The CLNS Media Network is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
What's going on, Taylor, and everybody at home, those of you watching, we're here to officially report that Christmas is canceled, and that's it. That's it. Everybody can go home. That's that. Patriots win. Yeah.
And when okay, they win, so disclaimer, I am at my girlfriend's family's house right now, and I thought I was locked away. I'm in her grandmother's room. Right now,
yeah, clear as evidenced by her grandmother.
She just okay. I'm gonna super close the door. I'll be right back.
Okay. This is the kind of thing that's gonna happen on it's gonna happen on Christmas.
I cannot lock the door. I don't even think she noticed.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that can happen on Christmas, and it's understandable, and everybody at home understands it as well, because everyone at home is mad and sad, and it is what it is, and this is where we're at right now with, you know, the Patriots situation, and we might as well put it up here on the screen. This is all people care about at this point, and the Patriots have now fallen to fourth from second. That's bad.
Yeah, it's...
That's bad.
It's very irritating, and it more so that it happened in the way it did, where you want so badly to feel good for Zappe and for Chad Ryland, because those are two guys who've obviously dealt with so much adversity and have managed to overcome it. Christian Barmore having like a hat trick. There were so many good things where, as like an actual, you know, Patriots fan, you're excited about, you know, looking at the future and things like that. But the reality is that I still am not convinced that Zappe is the future of this team. Now, with the fourth overall pick, you can still trade up. If you can't trade up, you're still in the range to take Jaden Daniels. Like, all is not lost, but you still have to play the Jets. So it's likely, you know, there's a decent chance that they could win another game, and that's when
the Jets
really
could have done
throws
you a favor
a wrench
today.
In your plans. Yeah, the they Jets couldn't. Commanders could have pulled one out. They couldn't. Then the Panthers almost pulled one out. They didn't. They were that close to the number one overall pick. Instead, they go down to fourth. And, you know, again, a decent chance that they slide even further, which is not great. It's not great.
No, and it sucks that we're doing this. And it sucks that – why is O'Shea Brissett on my screen? I don't need him. It sucks that we're doing this because this isn't a post-game show. This is just pissing and moaning over – you know, the Patriots draft slot losing. And you knew that this was a possibility late in the year with that Jets game, and you never know how that was going to go. And they could have given it away there, which would have been doubly frustrating. But now you're starting to throw other things into play, you know, in addition to falling down to potentially, you know, like fifth, sixth, seventh is now in play. That's not great, you know?
No.
So...
So many. I'm still processing and trying to figure out how I feel about this one. I will say the positive is that, again, I am not totally convinced that Zappe is the guy.
Well, still, I'll tell you this. The Commanders will – real quick. I don't have it in front of me, but there's no way from a strength of schedule perspective that the Patriots, if they hold at four wins, won't surpass the Commanders, because the Commanders will have a tougher schedule – because they play the Niners and the Cowboys, and the Patriots play the Bills and the Jets. So that strength of schedule is going to tick just forward there. If you see, you know, by my calculations, and I'll put it up again. You see them right now with their win percentage, 522 and 520. There's no way that's not going to tick up a little bit with the two opponents that they have remaining. So I feel like there's still a shot here at that three. And when you're talking about Chicago and Arizona and the idea that one, if not both of them, may consider holding on to their quarterback, you know, I doubt that's going to happen. But there is a world in which you're still getting your guy at three if that's what you wanted to do. But things have gotten more complicated. But anyway, Zappe, being the answer or not being the answer is where you were right now.
Yeah, I mean, you see the flashes where it's like, okay, he's got some of that Purdy in him where he doesn't impress you athletically. Like, you know, he doesn't have great running ability. His arm isn't great, but he can push the ball downfield. You see him making accurate passes. His pocket elusiveness, I feel like, has gotten better by the week.
Totally.
And this week, yeah, you really saw it. Like, he's finding space. There's guys around him. And there was the one play. And another thing I like about him is that you do see there's some progression from week to week where there's like a throw that he tries one week and doesn't make and then tries again the next week and actually gets it. I thought that we saw that with the pop throw where last week it was a similar play where he had pressure, kind of like ran up in the pocket and let it loose. Pop is wide open and he almost throws an interception that the guy just drops. This time it was very similar where he had pressure, made a free rusher miss, kind of same thing where you run up into the pocket, kind of get that moving forward start, and he let it go, and he put it out of the defender's reach, and Pop did a great job adjusting and extending for it. So there's definitely a part of me that's like, okay, I'd like to see what happens if you give Bailey a good offensive line where you don't have three holding penalties in a night and get sacked twice. And, you know, if he had a better complement of receivers, because obviously right now, like, he's – yeah, but to his credit, I don't know about elevating, but, you know, he's out there with Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, Pharaoh Brown. Jalen Reagor was pretty much the X receiver instead of Devontae Parker, who was more of the Z because he was their top guy left. You know, you see that he's able to compete in these games and against, you know, not great teams, but good enough teams that were in the playoff hunt at least. And, you know, was able to actually move the ball and have some success. So I still think it's too early. And we also have to understand that this was like the third quarter where they exploded, that there was nothing in the fourth quarter until the very end of the game. And he did put the fourth quarter drive together. So I don't want to take away from what Zappe did today, because I think, again, you do see that he's making some growth every week. But at the same time, there's still plenty of, you know, moments where his accuracy is not great. Like, anytime he saw blitzers coming at him, his accuracy just went out the window. So there's still very glaring holes, and the consistency is not there for you to be like, hey, maybe we go into next year thinking this, he could be the guy. I think right now, you know that Zappe could be a good backup, like a legitimately good backup, but I still am not sold on him being a consistent starter.
That's the problem. If he were, you know, somewhere between where he is now and where Brock Purdy is now, and you thought, oh, you know, you put enough around, you know, this guy, we could be okay. You know, I don't know if people necessarily think that. I do think the fun game that we can play is, and I'll ask you this outright, I don't think you can. I mean, I think it's fairly clear how the Patriots felt about Zappe, because they cut him outright at the beginning of camp. I didn't even think he was worthy of a backup spot. You know, weird shift carousel, whatever they did all season long at that backup QB position, which, you know, has been perplexing. But he looks so clearly better than his predecessor, just in terms of comfort, ability to step up in the pocket, make throws, doesn't see ghosts as much. But you did mention he was getting a little spooked under pressure and rushing some throws. Sure, but he's not, you know, he's not doing what Mac was doing and what ultimately cost Mac his job. That being said, the game everyone's going to play here is, if they realize 3-4 games in, if Mac was on a shorter leash and they pulled the plug on him 2-3-4 games into the season, what would the Patriots record be now? And then how would you feel about the team? What, let's say you pulled, you know, right now you're so close to that top two or top three pick. Anything positive is just like, oh, come on. But if they made the switch earlier, is this a 6-win team, a 7-win team? Not to say that I think that's the worst place you could be in the NFL, right? Yeah. Because you're stuck in the middle. But it might change the conversation around, you know, what you're going to do and what you need and how you need to improve going forward.
I think definitely you can kind of assume that they would have won more games. Like, you just think about the Colts game. Like, Bailey probably makes the throw where all you have to do is just you know, throw it anywhere in Mike Gesicki's vicinity, and he's going to come down with a touchdown, and you go into the bye week with a win, most likely. Instead, obviously, you know, Mac, just all the beatings he's taken over the past 2 years caught up to him, and that was the game where you saw, okay, you may have to do something because his confidence is completely gone. So I do think they would have had a few more wins, especially since we always talk about how, you know, the defense gives them the chance late and they don't do anything with it. And the thing is, I don't think having put him in like week four would have been the cure-all, because I also think that more time in the system and learning has been big for him, because we saw in the summer, like, there was a huge disparity and he did not really function well in Bill O'Brien's offense. And I find it hard to just assume that he would have done well early on in the season, but I think the time that he got to sit on the bench and learn and, you know, go through the week and adjust to the system really did help him. But I also think that, yeah, you know, maybe you do it like around week that's kind of a pointless game. But I do think if you kind of maybe waited to like mid to late midseason and put him in, they probably have like two or three more wins.
You know, I've been looking for the best deal on Celtics tickets, and with over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events every single day on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports festivals, and more. With the NFL, NBA, and NHL seasons in full swing, you don't want to miss out. SeatGeek has your tickets to every game. Plus, artists like Travis Scott are on tour. They put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you're getting a good deal. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so look for the green dots. Green means good and red means bad. Every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps. So as you know, I always come through for you guys. You can use my code DREAMERSPRO for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code DREAMERSPRO. Make sure you check the link in the description to download the app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now all of a sudden, did you mute me?
I unmuted you.
It changes the conversation a little if you do fall into who knows where land. And that could be into the 6 or 7 spot where you don't think a quarterback is worthy anymore and you draft one in the second round. Now you've completely changed what it is you're doing and how you're doing it. And you've taken someone that's more of an unknown or a flyer who might not come in and be a day one starter. If you draft Williams or May, of course, you know, you're likely handing the keys over to them and just say sink or swim, kid. But it does change. I'm not saying for the better. It just changes what might happen. And I'm going to warn you right now, I have to pop into the next room for a split second while you answer this question or address it, because I have to grab my charger before I power down and you're on your own for good. So have at it.
Was this a question that I got? Okay.
Why don't you just talk about whatever you want to talk about?
So let's talk about Christian Barmore. All right, is he an All Pro? I'd like to
I'm not leaving here. I'm not going to allow that happen. I'm just kidding. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, I'm so confused. I'm just going to keep talking. Christian Barmore. Well,
you can't talk about Barmore when I go in the next room and I got a zappy graphic on the screen.
Okay, man. All right. I'm sorry. All right. What else about Zappy? All right. Then.
Tell us why you love Bailey Zappy.
Yeah. All right. I'll find something else to talk about Bailey Zappy related instead.
That's all right. Here, let's think about ahead. Like, I've changed the graphic. Do your bar more.
Oh
go.
My
go
God. Get okay. Go get okay. All right. No, I have freedom. Yeah, Barmore. He is a monster. Yeah. I mean, I think we have to talk about him. We can talk about Zappy. You know, I think we pretty much covered it, right? Bailey Zappi, He is a good backup from what we've seen because he's got you a few wins, but he's also been inconsistent. He's also been the guy who can't put a full half of football or more than a first half of football together. This week, he struggled early on and then had a great third quarter. I thought even towards the end of the second half, he was all right. But again, I think we know what Zappe is. He had a great game today. Still need to see more from him before I think we make any, you know, big declarations. But Barmore, man, I really do. So I was saying this, if you follow me on Twitter, you saw this week I was saying he's a legitimate defensive player of the year. Or I'm sorry, all-pro candidate. I got excited there. He's a legitimate all-pro candidate. And the reason I say that is because since week six, he's like top five or top 10 in a lot of major statistical categories for interior defensive linemen. And that's just the numbers. When you go beyond the numbers and you look at, okay, yeah, he's got the sacks, the pressures, even when he's not actually affecting the play, you see that he's taking on double teams. He's not moving at the point of attack. He's making things easier for other people. He's getting pressures. He's beating people so quickly that sometimes the quarterback's getting it out, but you see an offensive lineman on the ground. That down-to-down consistency is something that I think is what you look for somebody like an all-pro type player. Not only that, you saw today how he can completely take over the game. And it wasn't the first time we've seen it either. We've seen, you know, not to the tune of a hat trick in terms of sacks. Hasn't been that dramatic. But we've seen plenty of times where, you know, games on the line and Barmore is the one who's in the middle of everything and making things happen. So, man, he's just continues to impress me. I don't know what they're waiting for with the extension. Like, sign him now. He's only going to get more expensive. You talk about guys who are playing their butts off late in the season, which I think is a lot of people. Clearly, this team hasn't quit. But the effort and just the production and the way that he is just manhandling people, I think that you got to, one, the extension is a no-brainer. But I think now you got to start thinking about him in terms of like, all right, is he a pro bowler? Maybe not all pro because interior defensive line is such a stacked position. I understand if he doesn't make that. Like, I get it, especially because he didn't get really dominant until about a month into the season. But in terms of pro bowl or some kind of recognition, I think he deserves it because, I mean, especially what he did now with primetime on a national stage, just absolutely dominating a pretty solid offensive line.
Yeah, and so they won't sign him because they just don't sign guys and they let them go into their contract year and then they say, go out there and find whatever it is that you think you're worth, and if it's something we can match, we will, and if not, we'll let you walk. And that used to work when it was like, hey, it will pay you roughly the same, but you get to come back to a team that competes for the Super Bowl. It doesn't work like that anymore. So it depends who's making the decision on a guy like Barmore. If it's Belichick, I would say we're going to be headed for another one of those situations, which is going to be extremely frustrating, and they'll be priced out. If he keeps playing like this, and they'll shrug their shoulders and they'll say value, 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 and they'll put nine special teamers on the worst special teams unit, you know, nine special teams only players on the worst special teams unit in the NFL. And that's how they'll do business. If they do something different and someone else is making the call, yes, Barmore's a guy you absolutely need to lock up right now. You know, if you ask yourself the question we've asked earlier in the year, Taylor, like, who are the keepers here, right? Like, who do you envision 3 years from now being a Patriot? Or are you wanting to be a Patriot? And the answer, sadly, is like Gonzalez and Barmore, and that's it. Maybe you could find one or two other guys who'd be good, you know, complimentary players and this and that, but those might be the only two, like, absolute keepers on your roster that you know that you would want right now. And one of them you only saw play a handful of games before he got hurt. So yes, Barmore is automatically, and he is playing like a man lately, even more so, and he just keeps getting better and better. He's a beast. He's absolutely somebody you got to keep around if you can.
Yeah.
But they won't. But they won't.
I mean, he does. If there's anybody they're gonna pay, it's a guy like him where he doesn't leave the field. Like, he can play every down. They haven't had a defensive tackle who could really bring it on every down since, like, prime Vince Wilfork. Even Vince, towards the end of his career, they weren't trying to really play him on pass rushing situations. Like, he was more of a run guy. They haven't had this in a very long time. And not only that, but the consistency. He clearly has a lot of respect from the people in the locker room. And, pass rusher, period, is a position where you do pay people. And especially if it's the interior, where it's really hard to get away from those guys. And, like, a Barmore, where you can double team him. And there are some guys, like a Chris Jones, where every once in a while, like, like they're just not really feeling it in terms of how they play the run. And if you double team them consistently enough, then you can move them. But Barmore has been stout at the point of attack. He's taking on a lot of people. Offenses are treating him like the biggest threat on the defensive line, and he's still dominating. So I think that's the kind of guy that I think he's somebody that they are going to pay, just because there's – with Tooney, at least you could say, okay, positional value, it's not quite there, even if you disagree. Barmore, there's no argument not to pay him other than, yeah, he hasn't been healthy in the past, but he's healthy now, and he's playing well, and he's putting the work in, and you can see Belichick clearly has a lot of respect for him. So, yeah, I think he's going to get paid.
Okay, well, that's hopefully, that's would be one positive coming out of this season if they're able to do something there. Speaking of getting paid, you want to get paid, you want to get in on the action, jump in on FanDuel, America's number America's number one sports book, the official wagering partner of the CLNS Media. You try to block it like this, of the CLNS Media Network, and the official partner of the NFL. You can get in on any NFL action here. Broncos bettors, moneyline bettors, I'm sure were really, really psyched and then really, really upset after what happened here tonight. But all you have to do is, if you want to cash in on this bonus, $150 in bonus bets, when you place a winning $5 moneyline bet, all you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Boston. Once again, FanDuel.com/Boston. Make sure you check it out and get in on the action. So Patriots down to the fourth pick. We know that now. Other takeaways from today's game, if there are any. And again, you know, as banged up as they've been and as light on talent as they've been, I mean, still, you're doing this without, and again, not to always bring it back to Zappy, but you're doing this with a makeshift offensive line again. Yeah. You're doing this without your number one running back, and Zeke is just not, you know, that guy. I mean, he's, you know, admirably filling in, but you don't have Stevenson, arguably your most reliable offensive player. You're playing without Juju. You're playing without Bourne. You're playing without your binky, Hunter Henry, and you're still able to do some stuff. So, again, has to be taken into consideration a little bit there in terms of Zappy's overall efforts. It's just incredible how little's out there.
Yeah, and speaking of the offensive line, so I'm going to go through my notes real quick. So James Ferentz, who's basically been a coach, he hasn't played. They've had all these injuries. This is the first time that they actually signed him to the squad, which showed you how desperate they were. He comes into the game, immediately allows a sack where he gets thrown to the ground. I think he was benched for the rest of the game. So that's, you know, that's how you start off. Antonio Mafi had 3 holding penalties. One might have been on Vidarian Lowe. I think it was called on Vidarian Lowe, but it should have been Mafi. There was a sack that where Zappy lost, where Trent Brown and Mike Nwenu both lost. Now, you know, I don't think that Nwenu struggled throughout the game, so I don't want to be too tough on him. And obviously, Trent Brown is injured. He was subbed out for Vidarian Lowe, so don't want to beat up on those guys too much. And then they couldn't run the ball super consistently either. So talk about the offensive line, man. Like, they're in a really bad spot right now. But in the good side of it, I didn't hear Sidy Sow's name get called. That's a positive. David Andrews had a couple weeks where he, you know, allowed some bad pressures. Didn't hear his name. So in that regard, there were some positives, I guess, to take away. But still, just the lack of depth in the account. Like, they struggle as you expect them to. But hey, I mean, almost more impressive that Zappy was able to pull this off and keep them afloat in under those situations. And I mean, when you have a defense like the Patriots have, it wasn't perfect. And I think they definitely, they said last week when it came to Mahomes making things happen, when things broke down, that there were things they wanted to fix. Well, this week, I don't know how, I tried to look and I couldn't figure it out. Juwan Bentley covering Marvin Mims like 40 yards downfield. I don't understand how that happened. I think it was just Bentley probably like going outside of his responsibility to try to make a play. I think if we look back on it and see the all 22, it's probably like, all right, good job, Bentley, like good effort. Cause like, clearly that's not supposed to happen. You know, the defense played a really good game, and it was impressive that, you know, Bailey Zappi was able to make chicken soup out of chicken. Not soup. I don't know what I'm allowed to say, but yeah. Offensive line, scary, but hey man, you got to tip your cap to Zapp and those receivers as well.
Yeah. One thing I'll say, you can almost set your watch to it every single week. There's a tweet from Taylor that says the defense deserves better than this. I'll let you give some hat. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying you are an advocate. You want to make sure that they get their flowers and they get their love, because they are continuing for the most part, to put up good performances, except for those back-to-back drives where the Broncos spit out 16 points in 3 minutes there. But outside of that, again, you know, you can give a couple of hat tips, and I'll let the viewers know at home. It's almost Christmas here on the East Coast. We are going to wrap it up just before Christmas, so all of you can, you know, say Merry Christmas to a loved one rather than have to stare at our ugly mugs. So we'll wrap it up in a couple of minutes here. But any other hat tips to, you know, to the defense? Taylor.
Let's go through notes. Miles Bryant made a ton of plays. Good for him. Guy that people love.
Give me your Jelani Tavai is around the ball observation. Always causing turnovers.
I'm him serious, man. It's him Tavai and Peppers every single week. Last week they both did. Now Peppers isn't here. And you still see Jelani Tavai with the forced fumble. And credit to Dietrich Wise, too. Because I thought initially I saw that the Broncos fell on it. He went in the pile and ripped it out. And that was allowed Jeremiah Farms to get on that. So Dietrich Wise is another guy that doesn't get his flowers very often because of his role. Awesome job from him. Marte Mapu, well, ball magnet 2 weeks in a row. Last week he steals one. This week he forces another fumble. Like, I needed some validation on Marte Mapu because he quite literally had not made a play at all this season until last week. And my whole thing when he came out of college is he's really good around the ball and he can create turnovers and all this stuff. And I really think that once he gets more experience, and he's more comfortable in a bunch of different roles. Because, like, he's a rookie playing safety, linebacker, and slot corner. It's going to be tough for those guys, communication and understanding your place in the defense while just adjusting to the NFL, period. But I really do think that with Marte Mapu, we're going to see, like, the growing pains of this year as positives. But next year, he can line up wherever he wants. And he's that freak athlete with incredible range and really good ball skills. So, yeah, Marte. Again, Chad Ryland, man, I wish that the game-winning field goal, you know, maybe that great field goal had happened later on and it hadn't won them the game. But bottom line, I'm so happy for him, really. He's such a great dude in the locker room. Seems really mentally tough, frankly, in terms of, like, the way he handles himself and carries himself around us. Like, he never really seems phased and clearly works really hard. So I was happy for him. Trying to see who else in my notes stood out. Pop Douglas. He had the drop. I don't know if he even had a target after that, but he had the really big catch. O'Brien used him a lot in empty formations. I really liked what I saw there. Because I felt like he had, you know, he had his screens and everything, but no really big plays for a while. So that was really good to see. I think now it might make him one of their leading receivers. And I'm going to see, was there anything else? And then Zeke with the play where he hopped over the guy and scored the touchdown. That was pretty cool. And who else? Oh, the tight ends. I called another one I had. Mike Gesicki. I said he was going to score today. I sensed a Gesicki's touchdown. And after halftime, people were like, oh, where is it? I'm like, wait till he gets in the red zone. Maybe a couple more times. He got the touchdown. So that was pretty neat. And then Farrell Brown doing his Farrell Brown thing. So, yeah.
So there you have it. Once again, the Patriots have gone from the a fun game. It's weird to not want wins because this was a great win and a fun win and like a lot of drama and a lot of swings. But the Patriots moved from number 2 to number 4 in the 2024 NFL draft. That's a piece of coal in your stocking tonight. Sorry, my friends. It is what it is. It's a tough one to swallow as you head to bed here and know that the Patriots now are not in line anymore for one of the top two quarterbacks unless they do something drastic or some other things happen. And that's where we are at with that. As we said, we're going to wrap it so you can run off and say a Merry Christmas to your loved ones. You know, Merry Christmas to all of you out there. For those who celebrate, for those who don't, happy holidays. We love you. And we will see you during the week with a lot more Patriots content, but take some time off. Everybody chill. We're still back at it at work tomorrow. Garden Report doing a post-game show following the Lakers and the Celtics. So any of you basketball fans want to jump in on that, that should be fun. We're coming at you right after the game. But, Taylor, Merry Christmas to you, my man.
Merry Christmas, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, we will.
Appreciate you all as well.